Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It is a terrific Tuesday, July 14th, 2015. You have tuned into Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody. Always available to you via our website, BakiMinistries.wix.com/Baki, or follow us on social media, Facebook, Google+, Vine, Instagram, Twitter. We are all over the World Wide Web, making sure that you remember that your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I am so excited that you guys have tuned in today. Well, first of all, I'm excited that it's a wonderful, terrific Tuesday, and the sirens you hear because we are taping live in the wonderful city of Indianapolis, Indiana, and we've had tornadoes, torrential rain, wind gusts, 60 miles per hour, and the city's just trying to get back into balance, and so there's been some accidents and some trees down and some situations that the rescue workers need to give their attention to. And so you may hear the sirens in this broadcast because I broadcast live and I broadcast outside. So, as many of you all know, we have switched up our focus for the next couple of weeks. We went from individuals to the focus on the family. Yes. Why? Why did you change things up? It was going so well. Yes, it was going well, and yes, it will continue to go well. Thank you for noticing. But we changed things up because, one, a little bit of change is good for everybody, and two, we believe that in order for our communities, our townships, our neighborhoods to get better, our families have got to be strengthened. Our families have got to be stronger, and we want to make sure that we are adding to the solution and not the problem, that we are giving as many tools, as much information, as much support as we possibly can to make sure that no matter what kind of family situation you're in, that you are making the best of it and you have the best and most recent information to make that happen for you. Today is no different. Today, and I think, yeah, for the next 2 days, we're going to be talking about the blended family. What? What's a blended family? You know, the family where you have the bio kids, the step kids, the exes, the extended family, the cousins, the aunties, the multiple generations, all mixed together, living together. That's great. That's called a blended family, and it's not always a very pretty picture. As many of you know, I was an art major at High Point University, and for design class, one of our assignments was to make 100 shades of every primary color. In order to come up with 100 shades of a color, you had to add white on one side, and then you had to add black on another. So it was two boards, one of each primary color. Primary colors are red, yellow, and blue. And to that, you added a drop of white, a smidgen of white, a bit of white, or you added a bit of black. Either way, it changed the color, and it became a whole new color. Like, oh, that's how you get mauve and pink and all these other names that we have for colors. But what happens when you add in a step kid or a kid that only comes over on Wednesdays and every other weekend? What happens when you add in a whole other generation? What happens when you have to adopt and take in your sister's kids because she's on extended leave? That's what we'll say. What happens when your family dynamic, you know, husband, wife, 2.3 kids, dog, has to change or does change? So what do we do? How do we handle that? I've got my own opinions. You've got your opinions. We're bringing all this together. How is this going to work? It works, but there are some keys to make it more effective and to help you remain sane through all these transitions because our sanity is very important. So the first thing I would say is to breathe. Right. Inhale, exhale. A lot of the things that we stress about and make big deals over and we want to have this big connection fit about, not that important in the big picture of life. Breathe. But you don't understand that. Breathe. I can't believe this child brought home. Breathe. I'm not ready to. Breathe. No, seriously. Take those deep breaths before you respond to things. Deep cleansing breaths, like in through your nose, hold for a count of five, out through your mouth, slow and steady. These breaths will help save you because when we're angry, when we're upset and when we're anxious, we have what's known as fight or flight. And a lot of us, we're going to fight with our words, and we don't fight fair with our family. We bring up all sorts of stuff. We say all the stuff that we don't want anyone else to say. We use all sorts of dirty stuff, and we bring up people's past. We don't fight fair when we fight with family. So if you take that moment to breathe, then you, during that breathing time, you have to decide, is this even worth me responding to? And if it's worth me responding to, is now the time for me to respond? Because a lot of things can be tabled. A lot of things can be brought up at your family meetings. A lot of things can be dealt with when people have more level heads. But if someone was just thrown in your plate and it's not a 911 emergency situation, please make and take the time to breathe, to take an adult time out and to step back from the situation. Look at all parties involved and try to see everyone's side of the situation. I don't care if you said it 732 times that in our house we do this and we do it this way. Stick with your consistency, but breathe. And that is one surefire way that you can be effective, because you're not constantly responding. You're not constantly running all over the family, putting out this one's fire, putting out that one's fire, listen to this one, being the soundboard for everybody. You are a place of peace, and you're bringing peace and level-headedness to the situation. Okay. Now, let's say it's a step-family situation. If you're the new parent, I know, a lot of people are like, I don't use step. Okay. For the sake of this conversation, so all roles are clear, let's just use the term step. I know, in my family, we don't use step either. We don't have steps. We're just family. One big, happy, crazy, unique family. All right. So for the sake of conversation, so all roles are clear, and you're a step parent, let's just say. In the beginning, if you have not formed a relationship with that child or those children, the way you took the time to date and invest in their parent, then you need to kind of chillax and take a step back and defer to the bio parent. So let's say you're the stepdad, and there's this big issue. And what do you think, Jen? Mom's wrong, isn't she? Mm-mm. Defer to the bio parent, because hopefully during your premarital counseling, you guys sat down and started talking about stuff before it would happen. So therefore, when these situations do arise and you guys establish your rules for your household, that you already have a game plan. But if you start to defer back to the bio parent, then you don't get to be the good guy, the bad guy, whatever guy. You're just the guy who's there to support. In our house, the rule is this. Now, we can look at the rule. We can examine it with the next family meeting. But right now, whatever mom has said or whatever the rule is, that's what goes. Because at all times, you as a parent have to present a united front to the children. So even if you're like, oh, my gosh, she overreacted crazy and terribly. What are you thinking? Why would you stop? That's what you're thinking. That's an adult conversation that can happen away from the children, but in front of them, defer back to the bio parent, let the house rules stand, and keep life moving forward. Now, if your partner comes to you and says, hey, I don't feel you supported me on this issue, yada, 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 great. Now we have room for open dialogue. And confrontation or conflict is not necessarily a bad thing. This is how we grow. This is how we expand. This is how we mature in our thinking. Because there's usually more than one way to do things. And even if bio parent has been doing it this way for 42 years, you may bring something different to the table that they may never have thought of or explored before. But you've got to find the right time to bring those things up. Okay, so also, oh my gosh, do not compete with their other parent. So if you are the stepdad and there is an active biological father, there is no competition. You guys are adding to the quality of this child's life. You are not taking away from it. Conflict will take away from the quality of the child's life. So if there's no competition, hey, your dad is still your dad. I'm not trying to take your dad's place. I don't want to be your dad's I don't want to be in your dad's shoes. I just want to love you in addition to. I just want to support you in addition to. I just want to be there for you in addition to. It's kind of like, you know how you go to a restaurant and they're like, would you like soup or salad with that? Oh, I want salad. Okay, great. So do you want Caesar salad or house salad? Oh, I want house salad. You are complimenting the meal. You are complimenting this child's life. You are helping to make sure this child has a fuller, richer life. So there's no competition there. The salad doesn't compete with the meal. It only adds to the meal. You understand that? Okay, good. So our next thing is to discover your stepchild or the new child in the family or the whatever, the newest addition. Discover their interests. So for the kids, they would have to get to know you. And for you, you would have to get to know the kids. And if it's a senior or another extended family member that's coming, you've got to get to know them as well. If you spend that much time dating and getting to know the person, and they kind of shielded you from their kids, which is always great. I highly recommend you not introduce your children to everything, I mean, everyone that you date. If you spend that much time getting to know them, please don't think instantaneously that their kids, which are a byproduct of them, will fall in love with you. Kids have their own opinions and ideas, and sometimes you have to, well, a lot of times, you have to get to know that child as an individual. You can't force it and say, hey, what you're going to do is you're going to call me dad, and I'm your new dad, because you're, what? To know John for who John is. John likes baseball and video games. Occasionally, you might want to do something involving baseball and video games so that you're on that child's level. And what you'll find is that's how you gain the respect of the child. That's how you can keep extra peace in your home. That's how life can go on and things can start to blend and come together better. But if you're trying to force something that doesn't fit, you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, you're going to get nothing but conflict and drawback and all sorts of negative stuff, but that's your choice. Sometimes you just have to choose to let life be what it is and take you where it's going to take you. And you have to be the support for whoever needs it at that time until everyone's role is fully carved out. And that takes a long time for some of us. You know how you can engraft an additional branch on a tree? You have to, like, chip away, and you have to prepare the new one that you're putting in. And so it has to have a root system. It has to have something where it's getting sustenance. Then there has to be attachments to it and supports in place for it. And so once all that happens, then the new branch feels more secure in its situation, and it starts to do what happens naturally. It starts to bond. And then starts to grow together. And then soon you find out, oh my gosh, we are one cohesive unit. But don't give up. Breathe through all of it. Breathe through every process. And sometimes it's not going to work. It's just too much stuff going on. But there has to be a respect level. Like, I don't like you. I don't like your behavior. I don't like anything you're doing. But I respect you as a person. We're not going to like everybody all the time. And there's a lot of defenses that our children and our families have built up due to being hurt by family members, due to being in hard situations. And it is what it is. And you've got to allow time to do what time does. Time will mend, especially if you're consistent. Time will heal, especially if you're consistent. And if you're constantly there and available, then kids and adults can see, like, oh, all right. Like, I know my dad wasn't anything, but you never talked about him. My gosh, I know my mom wasn't whatever, but you never berated them or brought up all of her stuff. Thank you for at least being there. I don't like you as a person, but I can respect the fact that you were there. And sometimes that may be as good as it gets. And I'm talking, of course, adult, teenage things, because young children, they want attention and affection. And whoever's constantly giving it to them, that's kind of where their loyalty goes. And again, you want to make sure that you're not putting yourself in a position to constantly be on a defensive. Oh, your dad bought you new shoes? Well, I bought you a skateboard. Oh, look, you came home with new clothes? Well, I got you a new coat. It's not a competition. Again, you are adding to the quality of this child's life and love bank. And to add to it, you can't consistently be on a defensive or trying to outdo or trying to buy love. Please do not go into the situation. If it's an adopted kid, a foster kid, a family member, extended family, whatever, do not go into the situation trying to buy love. This is how we have so many materialistic, self-serving children and young adults out there, because they never had to earn anything. Everything's always given to them because someone's trying to buy their affection. But if you come back 10, 15 years later and ask those same people what they really wanted in life when they were growing up, they're not going to say that North Face jacket back in 2005 is all I ever wanted. No, the humans' basic need. It's not North Face or name brand or any of that. The human basic need is love, attention, affection, shelter, security. Those are the human needs. And if you're constantly there providing that, then kudos to you. Pat on your back. You're doing one heck of a job. Keep up the good work. And eventually it will get better. Our next secret, or not even that, tool for helping that family blend, keep adding more dots and dots of other color, is take baby steps. Baby steps. Introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Jim. My favorite color is orange, and I hate macaroni and cheese, except for when your mom cooks it. And give them a wink. It's not that serious that you have to go in there, hi, I'm Jim, this is the military lifestyle lead, and hey, you're going to conform to it. Okay, you asking for trouble. I'm just saying. Go into it as open and as free will as possible and watch what happens. And again, in those tough situations that you really want to respond out of some sort of emotion, breathe. Take a moment, take a step back, and then respond. So you're going to get out of the way. You have to understand that this is a blended, like a true blended and step family. There are people who've known each other for years. They know each other's quirks and ins and outs, and there's been private time. Let them have their private time. As you get to know them, you find out, and you'll be included in some things, and some things you won't. Some things it's just a mommy-daughter thing, and as stepdad, you got to let them have that. And some things are bigger than that, and you've got to let people have what they have so that they can be the best version of themselves ever. And sometimes that means taking a step back. You're not going to be invited to everything. You may not be included in everything, but the fact that you are available and open and you're allowing people to be who they are, encouraging each other to go off on weekends. Yes, girls, y'all should go on that retreat. I'll hold down the house, me and the boys. Or yes, please have a mother-son outing. I'll hold down the house with the girls. If you've gotten into the blended family, you are a very important part of that. Now it's time to figure out just exactly where you fit into the equation. And it's going to take practice, and it's going to take trial and error, and you can't beat yourself up, because a lot of times as parents and as adults, we don't even realize the impact that we have on other people until years later. And even though you may say the same thing every morning, 732 mornings in a row, on that 733rd morning, something can change. Like, oh my gosh, I did not have to tell her to make her bed today. She just made it up. And make a big deal out of it. Like, not sarcastically, but sincerely. Like, I really appreciate the fact that I didn't have to tell you the same thing this morning. High five. And leave it at that. Unless, of course, you know, they want to go into it. But leave it at that. The fact that you're showing them appreciation, the fact that you're acknowledging something good, the fact that you're not constantly harping on what's not working, what doesn't work, and you're not acting out of your frustration. Because guess what? If you consistently work at it, you're going to get it right. If you constantly look for the good, guess what you're going to find? The good. If you're constantly bringing the good, guess what you're going to get back? The good. It's a process. There will be storms. There will be things that you have to weather and work through, and there will be waves that you have to ride out. It's not going to be perfect. No family, blended or unblended, ever is. No family unit really is. And I know what they portray on TV, and a lot of people are disappointed because it doesn't work out in their life. But don't expect unrealistic things. The reality is it's not perfect. There's going to be missing puzzle pieces. There's going to be great days, and there's going to be some sucky days. There's going to be some days you just want to throw in the towel, either throw the towel at somebody. Whatever it is, you have agreed to be a part of this. So you need to be the best version of you ever, and you're part of this family because you are needed. If you're the step or additional family member, you are now needed in that role. Because if you were not needed, it wouldn't have happened. Now, some stuff we try to force and we try to make happen, but there's some purpose out of everything. I don't believe, personally, that there are a lot of mistakes out there. I believe there are a lot of lessons out there. Now, if you're in a toxic relationship, maybe the kids need you as a constant in their life. If this is your third or fourth marriage, maybe you need to look back at all the lessons you've learned along the way and bring them to this. Because whatever it is, whatever reason you're a part of these people's lives, it's because you're needed. You bring something to the table that is needed. It could be stability. It could be a sounding board. It could be you're the fun parent. And that is fine. I have had the pleasure of having two great stepdads. My first stepdad was the fun parent. Like, my mom was mom, and she did what she had to do. But my stepdad was the one who took me out in the field, and he's like, all right, this is how a lawnmower works. This is how you throw a softball. I like softball. Do you want to see what we do when we're out in the field? This is how it works. All right, get down low. This is how you catch the ball. You're not good at catching a ball? Let me show you how it works. And so we start off with softballs, and then we moved up to baseballs, and it got harder and it got more difficult because now he's throwing full speed ahead, and I've got to catch it. He's like, and then he showed me how to do it like blinded. He's like, if the sun's in your eyes, this is how you do it. My mom never taught me that stuff. I don't even think my mom knows how to play softball to this day. But stepdad did, and in that role, and that was what I needed at that time. It got me out the house, got me away from the TV, and it was a break. It was an opportunity to learn something different. Is it a tool I have now? Sure do. Can I throw one heck of a softball? Sure can. Can I catch pretty much any ball? Yeah, I kind of lost some of that along the way, but with practice, I know how to get back to it. It's like riding a bike. You fall off, you get back on. And that was something he taught me because that was his passion. And it wasn't that I was like, ew, let me find out about you. It was because consistently he's going off to softball practice, and I was like, I want to go. I want to know. And so I'm asking questions. What is that? Why are they standing there? Why are you standing there? Why is he running? Why is he sliding? So finally he was like, oh, you have an interest? Well, let me show you how this works. And turned our backyard into a little diamond area. This is what you do. I was like, it's too much running. But other than that, this is pretty cool. Mind you, I'm like 7'8". Okay, thank you. Now, my second stepdad, he was a little more stern. And so he was like, look, this is how it's done. This is that. He came into my life during a time where I needed that real reality of what boys are like and what boys do. And this is the mind of a little boy. And you're heartbroken. The little boy broke your heart. I got my gun. What do I need to do? No, you don't need to kill him. And it was like, oh, he's just not ready for you. And so we have these deep, in-depth, like, two-minute talks about, hey, you're still wonderful, you're still valuable, you're still awesome. Little boys aren't on the same level as little girls, or teenage boys aren't on the same level as teenage girls. Don't worry. One day, it'll all make sense, and one day, it'll work out. I know you're hurting now, but one day, and so he helps keep that teenage hope alive because, you know, when you have those little teenage romances, you're like, oh, my God, the world is over. Like, I remember, like, my first real heartbreak or breakup. I came running into the house. I'm crying, slobbering out the mouth, threw myself across the bed. I hate boys. I'm never eating again. Don't even know how the two are related now, but, you know, in my teenage mind, that all made sense. I'm like 9th, 10th grade, and my mom, she's like, what is wrong with you? And my grandma's like, what is wrong with you? And so after I got myself emotionally together, and it was ribs for dinner, so I don't even know what I was thinking. But after I got myself together, I was able to kind of communicate with them about what was going on. But it wasn't until like 2-3 days later after the stepdad was able to come and talk to me and be like, hey, I heard such and such happened. Who I need to shoot? Do you want me to go get him? Let's get in the car. We'll go get him right now. I know. And so we went over to the park, and he sat me down, and he had one of those father-daughter talks that was needed and necessary. And that's one of the things that he brought to the table. So even if you're having the most difficult time, and even if you're not you know, pitch perfect or TV perfect or reality show perfect, stick with it because you are needed in these kids' lives. You're needed in that family to support, to bring some sort of balance, to bring some sort of peace. Without you, the family would be so different. With you and your additive flavor and your life experience that you're bringing to the table, it matters. It's important. And so I know it can be discouraging. I know it seems like an uphill battle, but that's one way that we build muscles is doing that uphill stuff. Them uphill climbs, boy, they will stretch you. Them serious family conversations, boy, it will stretch you. But if you and your spouse get together first, or your soon-to-be spouse or your fiancé, and decide how are we going to make our house better? How are we going to reflect the love that our children need? What are the rules for our house? And you decide that as the parents, as the heads of the household. Then you bring it to the family meeting and you allow the children to have some input. When then you set up these are the expectations and you hold the children to it and the children hold you to what they expect from you, you will find out that blended will happen. Blended will happen in a very smooth way, and you're like, wait, this is going way better than I expected. And at that moment, you need to be expressing some sort of gratitude and thankfulness for it and not looking for the bad. Like, oh, this is too good to be true. When's the bottom going to fall out? When's the next crisis coming? When's the next catastrophe about to happen? Doesn't matter. When it comes, because you've taken the time to build, repair and restore the family unit, when the next whatever comes, your family, your unit will be able to stand the storm. Again, it's not about being perfect. It's about being present. There will be times where you will not feel like it. You will not want to be consistently who you are, but you've got to be true to your authentic self, and you can't tiptoe around every issue. There are things you're going to have to take by the horns and pull it down and acknowledge it for what it is. There's stuff that can't be swept under the carpet, and if there's addictions and abuses and things like that, they need to be brought to the forefront. But if you have not proven yourself trustworthy, if you've not proven that you're in it for the long haul, it's going to be a longer haul than you think. All of these things are not secrets, and some of them appear to be common sense, but stick with it. It is worth it. You're needed in your family, and your family's needed in your community, and you're needed globally. Whatever you're bringing to the table, make sure it's the best you ever. Make sure that you know you are working consistently on self-improvement, and your family will see that in you and want to join in with you. But if you're constantly ho-hum and negative and depressed, not clinically, but constantly the bearer of bad news and constantly, no one wants to be around that. I'm not saying you have to go out and be the party animal all the time. What I am saying is look for the good. Seek the good. Point out the good. Oh, my gosh, this toddler keeps wetting his bed. Congratulate him every morning that he's dry. And if he's constantly wetting his bed and that's the issue, wake him up. Get up with him in the middle of the night and come up with some sort of midnight routine. That you guys get up and read Sports Illustrated while he's in the bathroom and make it happen. You could be all the difference in the world to anyone you choose to be. Or you could be self-involved and just think of yourself and see how well that works for you. It's not going to work. If you're trying to be part of a family, if you're trying to blend a family, you have to be respectful and consistent and true to who you are. This is who I am. Consistency and your love, let it show forth, and your family will start to blend, and it will start to get better one step at a time. You've got to make the choice of who you want to be. Which role are you going to play? That's all for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk about more blended family issues because it gets deeper the longer you're in it. It's not always the smooth ride, but it gets deeper, and you need to make sure you have the tools to handle that deep water. All right, you guys have a great one. This is Rev J with Blessed and Know It Ministries. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow live at 7 a.m. Bye-bye.